I've been a soldier and got my army sent many long years ago. And I've been scarred and wounded in battle, and many times I've been brought low. But by the signs of the time, I just realize I'm only one more mountain to go. Well, is that a light of heaven above? I feel like running my last mile home. Oh, yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration. While ages roll on, I feel like running my last mile home. Well, Jesus said when he reached down and saved me, I go with you all the way. So I stepped out on his precious promise, and it's kept me both night and day. Well, it's been many years, but I still can feel the spirit burning in my soul. Well, it gives me a taste of what's ahead. I feel like running my last mile home. Oh, yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration. While ages roll on, I feel like running my last mile home. Oh, yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration. While ages roll on, I feel like running my last mile.
For my journey now, gotta make it ahead somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. I had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down and I say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. There's nothing in the world that will ever take the place of God's love. Silver and gold can never buy his love from above. When the soul sees his healing and I begin to feel in his power, and I can say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Amen. Y'all give him another hand.
That was fixing to take off there.
Are y'all glad they're here this morning? Amen. Amen. That's good. I'm glad y'all here. Where's everybody else at? We got to start carpooling or something so y'all can help encourage people to come. Amen. This morning, we're glad to have Hope revealed here with us again, and we're going to just jump right in here. We're going to do some prayer requests, and then we're going to jump into the sermon, and then I'll explain at the end of the sermon why we've changed the service a little bit, and then they're going to come back and sing some more. Amen? Y'all can say that better than that. Amen. Amen. All right. Miss Joy's with us today, and I got to say something here. Y'all are bright-eyed this morning. I'm thanking the Lord for eye doctors. Amen? We've had so many eye problems, and Mr. Clausen, I said, Mr. Clausen, how you doing? I'm doing better. I got me some new glasses. Miss Joy had eye surgery. She's got new glasses. I took Mona. I didn't know. Mona been telling me she needed glasses. The other night, I took out my contact. She says, look at this. I said, well, I can't see it. I have to go get my glasses. She handed me her glasses, and I said, honey, your glasses is so bad, no wonder you ain't been listening to me. And so we went and got her some glasses coming in. But, you know, we take little things like that for granted. But God is always working and in the background taking care of us. And that is such a blessing that we just need to give the Lord praise for that. Miss Joy's sister, yeah, give him a hand. Miss Joy's sister, Jewel Wright, she was taken to the hospital. They knew pretty much it was something to do with the liver because she'd got jaundice, and she's got liver cancer. She was in it, went into a coma. Miss Joy was going to try to go see her, and then the Lord woke her up. They're going to be doing a biopsy in the morning. She's got one daughter coming in. Is it from California? And so all three kids will be there tomorrow. And so be praying for her. They're going to do a biopsy and then come up with a treatment plan for that. So remember her. Miss Rita had her surgery Friday. Her sister is still getting worse in the hospital, but Miss Rita is recovering. And Miss Joyce said that the test said that wasn't cancer, correct? And so y'all keep Rita in your prayers. Miss Teresa, we're glad to have you back with us today. Amen. Ken, good to see you. We're praying for you. I'm glad to see all our visitors, everyone here this morning. We just want to lift all these up in prayer. James had another treatment. His white blood cell count was up. They're going to continue his treatments and try to keep his cancer at bay so y'all can keep him lifted up in prayer. Cowboy Church Network Roundup is next weekend. We'll be going to that to represent Coolwater Cowboy Church, the church that Hunt Springs helped plant. And also Narrow Trail will be there, another cowboy church that we helped plant. And so that'll be a big weekend. I want y'all to be sure and show up next week, invite people. I know when the pastor's not here, a lot of times y'all think y'all can get away with not coming to church. Amen. But y'all encourage people to come. Brother James across the street is going to be preaching. Terry Herndon's coming down from Pittsburgh. He'll be singing. It'll be a great service. So y'all please come to that. And be praying for the Cowboy Church Network as they make plans on how to strengthen the churches we have and also plant more churches next year. That's what this is all about next weekend. So keep that in prayer. Any more prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Your mom's dog? Okay, so remember her mom and her. And also be praying for Miss Kendall to learn her next song, because you're going to come back and sing again for us, aren't you? All right, you let me know when you get ready, okay? All right. Any more prayer requests? All right. Jesse, I believe you can speak up loud enough for everybody to hear you. You mind praying? Amen. Thank y'all so much. If you'll take your Bibles this morning, last week we touched on this, and I asked you to be praying and looking for areas that you needed to make some improvements in your life about the church. And this morning we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Now, I won't be able to exhaust everything in these verses because it's only four verses, but if you divided it up, it'd be easy to preach 15 minutes on each verse, and we can't do that this morning, but I'm going to highlight some things and some application, and then Hope Revealed is going to help us apply some of the application of this text as we get to the end of the message here this morning. So if you will, if you've turned to First Thessalonians. I'm using a new Bible here, and my other Bible, I've had it so many years, I know where everything is. In this one, everything's about a page off, and so I have to keep looking down. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, if you'll read with me there. Paul writes, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays one another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we just begin this text and looking here today, Lord, we come before you, Lord, in everything we give thanks. We know that this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as verse 23 says, we know that only the God of peace can sanctify us entirely. That, Lord, it is only your work within us through your Spirit that can make us stand blameless, without shame, before Jesus when he returns. Lord, I pray now that we would look as we are getting cranked back up and getting back to church and Lord, restarting a lot of our church activities, that, Lord, you would help us today get back to the basics. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said last week, we got a lot of churches. We're starting to come back together. We're starting to gather together. We're coming back inside. We're still doing things outside in the parking lot. It's a lot of churches still doing Facebook services, other social media services. Some churches are doing their discipleship classes by Zoom or by invitation. There's a lot of things going on. September's always been back to church month. You know, and you know, you get a lot of mail out, postcards, a lot of banners, flyers, flags to put in the yard, welcoming people back to church. Why? They've been all summer. They've been on vacation. They've been here. They've been there. Used to be the thought that school's starting back so we can get everybody back in school, gather them back together. This year, something changed. It will never go back. I really believe that. With the pandemic, everything ceased to do with church. Everything stopped, and you know we think that was a bad thing. Well, it was to a certain extent, but sometimes we have to remember that the Bible teaches us that God works all things together for the good of those who love him according to his purpose. And if you keep reading that passage, it gives us the reason God works all things together, good or bad, is so that we can be conformed into the image of his son. And so as church is reopening, as we're coming back to church, there's some things that we should not bring back with us. And that's what Paul wants them to know. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, this church was started just a few months before this letter is written. And Paul goes through there with Silas and Timothy. He's preaching the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And chapter 1, verse 9 says, they turned from pagan gods and turned to the living God to serve him. In other words, they got saved. Hearts changed, lives changed, something happened. Did the community like it? No, they're getting persecuted. So when Paul writes this letter in chapter 1, Paul says, I thank my God for you. In chapter 2, he's like, I love y'all so much. In chapter 3, he says, I'm so concerned about y'all following God while everybody else is persecuting you. I had to send Timothy to check on you. Then in chapter 4, he says, look, Timothy says y'all doing good, but I want y'all to do better. And there he exhorts him. He says, look, I'm telling you, I'm asking you, I'm urging you, whatever you do, don't get trapped in the things of culture. Don't follow these things. Look, you live for the God that just saved you. And then at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, he encourages them to tell them what heaven's like. Guess what? Jesus is coming to get y'all. Why? Chapter 5, because he's not destined you for wrath, but for sanctification. So here's what Paul's doing. Here's what y'all looked like before you got saved. He said, here's what you're going to look like when you get to heaven. Heaven's great. The past wasn't that great. But now he says, here's what you got to do in the present. Here's what the church does. He says, if you're going to get back to the church basics, think about it. This church is just planted. You know the advantage to a new church that's just been planted? The people ain't picked up a whole lot of bad habits yet. So this church is going along pretty good. And Paul wants them to do better. He says, look, we request. This word request means asked. In other words, it's not like, I've got to do this. He says, look, we're asking you. Now look with me, if you will, at verse 13. At the last phrase, because this is important, it's a bunch of commands coming. Commands mean do this, right? But this is the first command. But this command is what is going to overshadow what he's talking about relationships in the church. You need to live in peace with one another. Now, this is the secret to the church. Now, think about this. The only way that you can become a member of the church is to be at peace with God. The only way you can be at peace with God is to accept the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because he made peace between God and man. It's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. So if you've got peace with God, vertically, you got to have peace with one another horizontally. And you say, well, preacher, you just don't know how some of them people are. Hey, I know God's living in them. If God's living in them, you can learn to be at peace with them. Now, if we're going to live at peace, here's what we got to do. Y'all ready for this? And since I'm the preacher, I feel kind of funny being there. First of all, you got to respect those who minister to you. Second of all, you've got to minister to the others in the church. You respect the ones that's ministering to you, and then you help minister to others who need you. Now, Paul says, I'm requesting something. I'm asking y'all to do this. Appreciate those who diligently labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instructions. Now, this does not mean that the leaders are just scot-free here, that you got to just respect them. Respect is earned. My mom and daddy taught me that. Now, I was a little hard at learning, and my daddy had unique ways of making me remember that. But when I worked up north for a long time, everybody up there, all the ladies would say, don't say yes, ma'am, to me. And I said, ma'am, I can't help it. If not, I'd go like this, because I'd think my daddy'd hit me in the back of the head. Amen? My mom and daddy taught me respect, but what respect is earned. So Paul says, look, the relationship between leaders in the church and people in the church, or pastors and the people, that relationship is one of respect. First of all, leaders, Sunday school teachers, pastors, deacons, or elders, ever how you've got your church set up, they diligently labor among you. This word means work like you sweating work. Now, February 2014, Forbes magazine had an article about the toughest leadership jobs in the United States. Pastors was number four on the list. The article went on, and I love the line that it closed with. It said, "It is easier to herd cats." Martin Luther, the reformer, said, "If I'd a new ministry was going to be this hard, a team of 20 mules could not have drugged me into it." If you read Jeremiah, if you read some of Paul's writings, you'll understand. The only way, Spurgeon said the same thing, the only way that you can make it in the ministry is to know that you can't do anything else. Because God will show you, if you're a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, a preacher, a parent, if you're spiritually leading someone else, God is going to show you it's impossible to do unless you're dependent on Him. You can work hard as you want to and not see any benefit till you realize God's got to help you. And then God's already put something in the works that you don't even know about, and you'll get a phone call of somebody just saying thank you for a kind word or for a prayer or thanking you for something. And then you'll realize that God is at work. So you have to diligently work. And you respect your leaders because they're working hard among you. Parents, children. I wish there was more young people here today. You know what's wrong with our world? Children don't have respect for their parents. Now, I'm not getting on a soapbox here, but I'm telling you, if you start in Genesis and read the Revelation, God had a plan. One man, one woman are married. They have children. They teach their children about God. God says, "I chose Abraham for this purpose, that he might teach his children, and they might teach their children." If people don't have respect in the home, that respect will never come into the church. If you don't have respect in the church, that respect will never go out into the community. So the family is fundamentally how God teaches us to respect, love, and have peace among ourselves. When you come to church, it works the same way. A shepherd of the church is just a reflection of a shepherd in the home. A shepherd in the church can't shepherd the church unless God is shepherding him. When David became king over Israel, the first thing he said is, "The Lord is my shepherd." He didn't tell the people, "Hey, I'm going to shepherd y'all and lead y'all and y'all going to do this." He said, "Look, I'm following the Lord. Y'all pray that I keep following him and then y'all follow me." Because I'm telling you, you're never leading your family, your Sunday school class, the deacon board, the elder board, or a church if you're the only one going in that direction. You lead by example. Here, Paul says that they have charge over you. This means to stand before you. Your leaders become an example. It's a middle here, the language, it means it's something that God has done to them. He has stood them before you, not only to proclaim his word to you, but also to lead by an example. A pastor, Hayden Robinson said, a pastor should never preach a sermon to his people till he's preached it to himself. He says that they have charge over you, what? In the Lord. It's not they're doing, it's the Lord. The Lord put them there for a reason. When they minister to you through instruction, that's through God's word. Over and over in Scripture, it talks about preaching. The idea of preaching and proclaiming is the idea of going into a town or a village in front of a coming king to tell them a message
from the king about what they need to do before he gets there. That's the way you have to think about a sermon. Jesus is coming. And here's what you got to do to get ready. And they give instruction. So that instruction doesn't need to be an opinion. It needs to be scripture. I was talking to a friend that called me yesterday and was wanting some advice. And I said, you know, here you go. After we had talked and I'd listened, I said, you need this, 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 and this. And I said, let me pray with you. And we prayed this, 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 and this. I said, now, I got to run in there and make sure I quoted these Bible verses right, and I'm going to text you these Bible verses. Because don't take me at my word. Later on tonight, when you want to look at this, look these Bible verses up and read them. I said, it's not my opinion, it's God's word. And I said, here's how the Holy Spirit works. I could give you instruction, and it might help you. You might do it a day or two. But if you read God's word and the Holy Spirit's working, a miracle happens. All of a sudden, you know it's truth, and you can't help but follow it. Now, you might stumble and fall, but you know where you fail, and you know why you need to get up. So he says, you need to respect your leaders. Leaders, you need to work to minister to the people that God's put under your charge. This works out in business. It works out in anything. Paul says in Colossians that do all your work as unto the Lord. We are and leaders, you can't be browbeating your people. I don't have time to get into it, but verses 1 and following. Peter says, don't lord it over them, but shepherd the flock. And he goes on to say, you want to shepherd in such a way when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, shows up, that you will not be ashamed before him. So, if we're going to get back to church, we just need to do some little bitty things. We just need to respect our leaders. Leaders, you need to earn that respect. And now he says that you are to esteem them highly. In other words, regard them highly. The way these words right here work, it means you're already doing it, but I need you to do it more. It needs to be exceedingly more honor there. And he says to do this highly, how? In love. If you don't have the love of Christ in you, you'll never respect anybody and you can never lead anybody. Jesus says this in John 13:35. By this, all people, that means saved and unsaved, inside the church and outside the church, all people will know you're my disciples if you love one another. You've got to have the love of Christ in you if you're going to be in a leadership role in the church. You've got to have the love of Christ in you if you're going to be in the church and work with everybody else. It is the love of Christ that gives us peace and helps us work together. He says you're supposed to love them and respect them. Why? Because of their work. Paul, in another letter, says that this is what they do in Hebrews. He says they have watch over your soul. God has sent leaders. And you say, well, the preacher's talking about he's just got to follow the Lord. And long as he's following the Lord and I'm following him, everything's all right. But what if he don't follow the Lord? That's why preachers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, you need mentors too. You need accountability partners. That's why me and James, me and Jeff Smith, me and Robbie Gibson, that's why we always calling each other. Shane Arnold taught me that when I first was called to the ministry. When I'd walk in, and sometimes I just didn't want him to ask me this because I knew what he was coming. He'd ask me two questions every time I'd seen him, and he was a young pastor. He said, Wes, what is God doing in your life today? And then when I'd finish answering him, he'd say, now what are you doing for God today? And the man that mentored him from the time he got saved all the way up through church had always asked him them two things. Do you know if more people would ask us those two questions, it'd be a lot easier for us to live pleasing to God. Now, you respect your leaders. Your leaders earn that respect. And now, also, if we're going to get back to the basics, he says, we urge you. Now, this don't mean I'm asking you. This means I'm telling you. Okay? Now, they got a word in Greek. It means exhort. That makes it a lot pleasanter. But it means I'm telling you this. And then he starts giving them some commands. Here's the first command. Admonish the unruly. Uh-oh. Now, this word unruly can mean lazy. And I know in 2 Thessalonians, Paul's talking about people that's not working and you stay away from them because they think the Lord's coming back. But it ain't that kind of lazy. If you're going to use lazy in the context here, it's got to be spiritual lazy. Unruly actually means undisciplined. It actually means in the context of you live in peace with one another, another command, it means don't be disruptive. Don't be divisive. Don't be irresponsible. Leaders are responsible to lead. The people are responsible to respect the leaders and to minister to one another. Church basics. We minister to one another. Now, if somebody is unruly, decisive all the time, what happens? It causes problems in the church. You know, and I just got to say this. I don't know if you know this or not, but pew setting is not a spiritual gift. You know, some people, whether it's in church or at work, they sit, don't do nothing, but look at what everybody else does wrong. And they point out everything else that goes wrong. Now, Paul has already said at the end of chapter 4 that we're supposed to encourage and edify one another. That means build up. Now, it's difficult to build somebody up because it's so easy just to criticize them. Now, what Paul is talking about here, and you know if this is you or you know somebody, he's talking about if you're always making a them against us. You know, why didn't they do that? Why didn't they dump the trash? Why they didn't do that? I used to call them the invisible they. Right? Them invisible people didn't do it again. You're not to be divisive or disruptive. You're supposed to keep harmony. You know, peace is about harmony, right? And if you're working for the purposes of God and y'all all pulling together like a team of horses, then everything's running good. If you get a team of horses and two horses don't work together and you get one, you know what's wrong? You're always going either to the left or to the right. You're always trying to speed one horse up, slow one down. But if them horses ever get to listening to each other and in step and pulling with the same, one rests, the other one pulls harder. And the other one rests, he pulls harder. When they get like that, you're getting some ground covered pulling that wagon or that plow or whatever you're doing. Church is the same way. Jesus has called us to serve him. And he's left us on this earth to be examples, testimony of what he can do with a bunch of sinners. Here's the great thing about the church. You can join any club you want to in town. A little bit of money, answer the right questions, promise to clean up or not steal something from them or whatever. They got rules. They don't care where you come from, long as you got a credit card you can put in the payment plan thing. Church is the only institution that we all have to admit how bad we are before we get to join it. We say, Lord, you're right. You know what confession is? Us agreeing that what God says about us is true. God has showed us some things in our life that we need to let go. Some things in our life that needs to be buried. And then he's going to replace them with new, better things. So you admonish the unruly. That means warn them. That word means to put something in their mind, You know, the preacher ought not to always have to be telling somebody they're doing something wrong if they're doing it. Why? Because we got friends. We got friends, we got family members outside the church even that say they're Christians. If there's something in their life that needs to be changed, we don't have to browbeat them. Just take them God's word and show them where that's wrong. Ask them to read this. Show it to them. Warn them. To live pleasing to God, you live by God's standards. So, if you're going to have the ability to minister to others, you need to admonish the unruly. Now, with culture and with the things the way they are today, it's real easy to do this, right? Because we like to point out people's flaws. But there's more to it. You also have to encourage the faint-hearted. The faint-hearted are those that are discouraged. They might have been doing good in the Christian life for a while, but things, the Thessalonians here, they was getting pressure from the outside. The church is going good inside. They didn't have any problems yet, but they've been persecuted from the outside, from their family, from the Greeks and from the Romans and from the Jews. And, you know, after a while, if everybody's telling you you're wrong, you just get discouraged. And Paul says, as the church, we ought to leave here walking on clouds. You just need to encourage them. They might just need a word of encouragement. They might just need somebody to listen to them. Look for the one good thing in somebody and point out how God's using it. Encourage them. And help the weak. Now here, he can be talking about the physically weak, but in the context, he's really focusing on the spiritually weak. And he says so in Romans chapter 14. When he's talking about if you got a weak brother or sister, and there he's talking about eating food that's sacrificed to idols, but Paul says you need to help them, strengthen them. That means if somebody has got so physically weak or spiritually weak that you almost got to prop them up and help them finish. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, this is why I minister, that I may present every man complete before Christ on that day. In other words, Paul says, I ain't leaving nobody behind. Whatever it takes to get them across the finish line. If they weep, I'll weep. If they cry, I'll cry. If they sing in praise, I'll sing praise. If they need me just to sit with them, I'll sit with them. See, the strength of the church is the members of the church. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in us gives us the power to strengthen one another. Each of us are better at some things than others. Some of us even look better than others. Amen? So we put each other together. Why? So we all look good. And we behave. Amen? Now, I got to hurry up here because we're fixing to go into some music, but I can't leave this out. You got to understand, if you're going to warn people of what they're doing wrong, if you're going to encourage them when they're discouraged, if you're going to help them to spiritually grow up in Christ, that's what that's talking about, you got to have something, and this is very important, patience. Everybody ain't going to do everything right when you want them to do it. That means grow up in Christ. Some of us can do some things a lot quicker. I mean, we'll have a habit and the Lord might just take it away from us. And we don't ever deal with it again. Some of us might have a habit and we deal with it the rest of our life, but God gives us the strength not to succumb to it. When we ask somebody to do something or we start like, well, they ought to do that, and we don't have patience, then we're not accomplishing the things that God had for us. Now, when you ask for patience, believe you me, God's going to give it to you because he's going to give you somebody that's going to test your patience. So when that happens, here's what I want you to do. I want you just to pause. I want you to sit down somewhere, close your eyes, and think about how patient Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying for something that you did and you couldn't stop doing. And then you say, God, let me feel my brother or sister's pain at the foot of the cross and help them up from here and help them to know that you're still the God that changes hearts and that changes lives. You've got to be patient as you respect those that minister to you and as you minister to the others. And see to it of this. Do not repay evil with evil. As a child of God, you've got all the rights of heaven, all the rights of Christ. As a believer living on this earth, waiting for the return of Christ, the best lesson you'll ever learn is that you always have the right not to exercise your rights. Just because somebody does something to you doesn't mean you have to repay them with evil. Paul says here, see that, or see to. That means take the responsibility that you pursue or seek. That word means to intentionally pursue something with an intentional goal. You intentionally trying to bring about a result. Don't repay evil for evil. Now, Paul, in chapter 12 of Romans, explains how we can do this. And there, he says, never repay evil for evil, but repay evil with good. By doing so, you will heap burning coals on their head. Now, as a younger person, you know, not that mature in Christ. Last Thursday, I was reading that, and I thought, I'm going to get me a big shovel. I'm going to heap some coals on them, right? That ain't what that means. In the first century, in some of the religions, when you'd done something wrong, you would put coals in a hot pan, put it on your head, and you'd walk down the street. Now, if y'all ever see me doing this, you know I've really messed up bad, right? The heat from the pan made you think about what you had done. What Paul is saying and what Jesus says in the Gospels is that even though somebody does evil to you, you do right to them. Because when they see your Christ-like response, they'll start thinking about what they have done. Now, it won't always happen this way, but the reason you do that is to bring them to repentance. So they repent for what they did to you or somebody else. So they're, first of all, right with God. If you can get someone that you can't get along with right with God, guess what? Y'all can start getting along and live at peace. Let us pray. Kind fathers, we pray this morning. I'm just asking everybody here to consider if they have been respecting those that's been put in spiritual leadership over them. Lord, if we haven't, I ask that, first of all, we just ask for forgiveness. And then, Lord, we start learning to respect those who have leadership over us, those who work hard for our spiritual instruction. Lord, I ask also that we minister to one another. If we find ourselves discouraged, if we find ourselves weak, or if we find ourselves unruly, that, Lord, you would put somebody in our path, somebody to warn us of our bad behavior, somebody to help encourage us when we're depressed, someone to help lift us up when we're too weak to go on. Lord, may we know your love as we live in peace with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm asking Hope Revealed to come now. The only way that this will ever work is if the next verses I'll preach on in 2 weeks happens. You've got to rejoice in the Lord. You've got to be happy that you're saved. You've got to pray without ceasing. You've got to be thankful to God for all things and never despise prophetic utterances. So as we sing, I want your hearts, before we leave here, here's the application to the message. I want you to start rejoicing in the Lord. Hear these songs and pray the words of these songs. And I want you to be thankful for the God who allowed you to know Him.
Jenny's got more month than she's got money. She works three jobs, she's barely getting by. Bob got word his mom's been told it's cancer. So many questions, all of them as why. We're living in a broken world, and a broken world won't give you any answers. Everything is upside down. Wrong is right and right is wrong, but not for long. No, not for long. This broken world is cradled by a Savior, and nothing here can take him by. Tears been wiped away and dry, but for now we're living in a broken world, but not for long. No, not for long. Mama spends her waking hours praying. Her child's done gone, left everything behind. Daddy's getting tired, his faith is fading. You can't get water from a well that's running dry. We're living in a broken world, and a broken world won't give you any answers. Everything is upside down. Wrong is right and right is wrong, but not for long. No, not for long. This broken world is cradled by a Savior, and nothing here can take it by surprise. Someday not for long. No, not for long. This broken world is cradled by a Savior, and nothing here can take him by surprise. Someday all this hurt tears been washed away and dried, but for now we're living in a broken world, but not for long. No, not for long. Oh, for now we're living in a broken world, but not for long.
Just say the message that the pastor brought this morning, I was thinking in reference to the song that would come after. We're definitely right now living in a broken world. Through things and mistakes and choices that people have made, and we've got all the problems of the things that this song speaks about. A single mom out working, doing all she can do to try to make ends meet. Someone finding out about cancer. We had that mentioned early in prayer request. All of these situations are still going on, but yet we've got all this other crazy stuff that's going on. Everything's upside down. Wrong things now people call right. Right things that people now call wrong. We've just got a mess. But I know that our Lord and Savior, this has not taken him by surprise. He's got it in his control. Because one day, as long as we stay faithful to him, he's going to come and take us away. And all the tears are going to be wiped away. And then it's going to all be worth what we've gone through. It's not easy in this life we're living right now. We've had to take church out here. We've had to do church at home. And I'm afraid that a lot of people may have wavered. Then others may have been brought back in a different way. But I know that none of it took him by surprise. There was a reason for everything that's happened. And I look at some of the things going on and I'm like, but how, God? Why? Why is all this turmoil going on? But there's a reason. I don't know what it is, but I know it's to make us stronger and we are to pull together. The church is the only hope right now that we have. Those that are Christians, that are doing what God wants them to do and following the Lord, that is the hope for these people out here. Because, y'all, they are lost and out and undone without Christ in their heart. And we are the only hope that they have to be able to go to them, to minister to them, to uplift them, to not browbeat them, but to uplift them and try to show them the way by the example that we set. I love the Lord this morning, and I praise him for everything that he's ever done in my life. And I didn't mean to talk that much. But your message really touched me this morning. For some reason, it was just really spot on. Y'all do have a massive job here because y'all are the hands and feet of Jesus. When you walk out of here, you're the ones that are carrying the message to some that will never get it if you don't do it. And one day we will stand before him. And when we stand before him, we're going to have to answer for that. And I think that we're going to have some tears because there's going to be some things that we didn't do that we knew that we should have. But he's going to wipe them away because his blood, the blood of Jesus has covered us. And we've been redeemed. And he's going to say, I wish you had, but you didn't, but I still love you, and come on home. And I'm looking forward to that day because I know there are things that I don't do when I'm supposed to sometimes, and I think we all do. But we do our very best, but we have a Savior that looks upon us, and he says, I forgive you, I love you, you're covered by my blood, so you're protected. So one day this broken world is not going to be broken anymore because we're going to be in a place so much better. And I love the Lord. I didn't mean to do all that. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for your testimony. My sleep is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. Believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. reveals my broken dreams scattered all around. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying days. If others find a way, I'm at your mercy. Please. God of earth and glory, you take the time to care for someone like me. But I read in the Bible that old story where he pled for my forgiveness. Why die? Need your grace to make it through, and all I have is you. I'm at your mercy, Lord. I'll serve you until my dying days. Help others find a way. I'm at your mercy.
So glad to be home. We are feeling so much like a part of Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Let me tell you where your church went yesterday. We were at Manio, North Carolina, yesterday. We drove up 5 hours yesterday. We sang for 2 or 3 hours and had lunch or dinner. I don't know what you call what we had sometime over the afternoon. Drove back to Smithfield, spent the night, and came on to church with you this morning. I say that because every time you come and allow us to worship with you, we take a little part of you with us on the road. And we're so thankful to be able to come back and worship and praise. What a powerful message we've already heard. It's just a true encouragement to us already today. You'll notice that we are again without Marianne. Her father continues to struggle, and she's unable to travel. She traveled with us last weekend but couldn't make the trip this weekend. So keep her and her father in your prayers as the Lord deals in that situation, as he will in his time. And pray for us as we try to make adjustments in how we sing and sound and all those things without that female alto part that sort of levels things out every now and then. But we had a great time yesterday. We sang in a secular venue out in the open, and I'm going to take a second and tell this. We were singing, and it was one of those things where we had a product table out front, but folks were really not there to see us. They were there to see these cruising hot rod cars, you know, and we were singing above the sound of the mufflers and everybody talking about how great their car was. And occasionally you get somebody would nod your way and look your way, clap their hands, stomp their feet, or, you know, we know you're there, we're just not paying you a lot of attention kind of thing. And just when you thought, well, it's been a nice trip up here, but boy, that was a long way to drive this morning. This guy comes walking up to the table while we're singing. And at first glance, you would have thought he came right off the street. Literally, folks, his T-shirt was tattered and torn. Now, we were in a fishing community, so he may have just got off the fish boat. That was what I gathered. And there's a donation can, as you've seen on our product table before. We're a donation-based ministry. We put gas in our car based on what put in that can. And he reached in his pocket and put money in that can and looked up to confirm that he could take something off the table, because we'd already said, you know, take what you want. And of course, I and Kathy both just looked down and nodded as we continued to sing. I got all over Kathy. She couldn't quite figure out that thing. And I tried to explain we're in a fishing community. It could have been all kinds of reasons, but she was convinced in her heart that, you know, he was moved to come. He was the first to come, the first to come to that table. If nothing else happened yesterday, that would have been worth that drive. Don't know what was planted in his heart. He never talked to us. He took his tape, took a book and crayons, and he walked sort of into the shadows of the day. He just sort of walked away. But that's where you ministered yesterday. If you want to know about that, in partnership with us, as you're so kind to let us be a part of your family. Let's sing some more. You want to?
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been in this town. Have you been walking the same old road for miles and miles? Have you been in the same old voice to the same old life? Are you trying to feel the same old holes inside when there's a better life? There's a better life.
If you got pain, well, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight.
We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, well, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
Can feel it. Somebody testify.
He's a
Gets here so quick. Gets here so quick. Yeah, we'd stay all day and come back and sing tomorrow night. You know, we just love to do it. But, you know, life has order for a reason. And God's word's been spoken. And the challenge for us now is the application of his word to our life. And I feel led to do this, Pastor. I hope, and I know you trust me in this. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. All denominations. And we get to know a lot of pastors and get to work with a lot of pastors across the land. And none we love more than your pastor here. And I'm going to change the invitation up a little bit. What I'd like to do, if you're physically able, and I know we still have social distancing concerns, and I want you to be observant of that. But if you can get from where you are, and make your way to these first five or six pews and stay spread out. I want you to come as a testimony of an altar call, if you will. We won't get down around and put our hands on each other because I know we're still careful about that. But there's something about physically moving from where you are. Yes. I'm going to ask Miss Mona and the pastor to come stand right here. As we sing this next song, I know it's their testimony. I believe it to be your testimony, too. But as an affirmation of your love for your pastor, as we love him, would you come and just sort of stand or take a place on these first four or five pews if you're physically able? If you'd prefer to don your mask, that's perfectly okay, and I understand that. Just as a physical sign of your love and support for him and Miss Mona, as we sing a great song of the church. Something that you need to be prayerful about. If you want to spend a moment with the pastor and his wife while he's here, I'm sure he wouldn't mind you coming forward and just being with him. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be have Jesus and worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. For He's fairer than the lilies of rarest bloom, and He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb, and He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be hailed in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today. This world affords today. Amen.
Thank y'all. Thank you so much, and thank y'all for being here. And y'all give Hope Revealed another hand. I appreciate them so much, and we just had a connection the first time we ever spoke on the phone. And they are, as they said, they're part of our ministry. I hope you realize that, you know, sending them forth when they come here is just part of our outreach, and that God uses all of us to work together for His glory and the good of others. And I hope as you go forth this week that you would read the rest of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians and remember to rejoice always. When you realize what Christ Jesus has done for you, you can rejoice, as they were singing a while ago. When you understand that He is the chain breaker, the pain taker, the way maker, and a prison shaking Savior, you can be thankful. And remember this, I don't care how broken this old world is, my Jesus is making all things new. Let us pray. Kind Father, we thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. Lord, we thank You for the church. That, Lord, in Your design, You made an institution that gathers the believers together and dwelt with Your Spirit, that we can be lifted up into Your presence. Now I ask, Lord, that You would make complete everyone here, that they may stand blameless before You on the day of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much.